This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. We begin today with the announcement from Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz that she will be stepping down January 13th. The move is not unexpected, as President-elect Trump will name the next U.S. attorney for the state. But joining us now is the person who held the office before Ortiz, Michael Sullivan. He was former Massachusetts U.S. attorney from 2001 to 2009. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Deb. Good speaking with you.
Nice to speak with you, too. So explain to us this process of stepping down a little bit, just so we understand it.
Yeah, sure. It's actually a pretty simple process. The administration you serve under, the president asks all of then his presidential appointees to tender letters of resignation, effective the date of the incoming president's swearing in, which is obviously January 20th. So all the presidential appointees present and have available for the incoming administration letters of resignation. And then the president, the administration acts on those letters of resignation. In some instances, on that specific date, the 20th of January, in some cases, they hold a letter of resignation for a period of time during the course of a transition from one administration to the next.
So nothing unusual here.
It is not unusual at all. Carmen Ortiz is stepping down in advance of the new administration, but it's not unusual at all for U.S. attorneys to anticipate their resignation either around the date of the incoming administration or shortly thereafter. I would say U.S. attorneys, it's a process. I think confirmed a couple of days after 9/11 in 2001, so the process does take several months to get the new U.S. attorney in place.
So then, what happens? I mean, is there an interim, or who runs things for those months while we wait for the next person to take over?
Yeah, there'd be typically an acting United States attorney. In most instances, it would fall to the first assistant United States attorney that is working on behalf of the current U.S. attorney. In this particular case, it would be Bill Weinrab, who's the first assistant United States attorney. He would serve as the acting U.S. attorney during the period in which there's a vacancy in the U.S. attorney's office. Prior to me becoming U.S. attorney, Jim Farmer, who was then the criminal chief of the U.S. attorney's office, but the highest ranking assistant United States attorney, served as the acting U.S. attorney after Don Stern resigned, who was my predecessor.
And typically, the U.S. attorney is recommended by senators from the home state. In Carmen Ortiz's case, nominated by the late Senator Edward Kennedy. Is that typically how it works? And would that have to happen again?
Well, it typically works that way in those states in which there's a sitting United States senator that is of the same party as the executive branch. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, there isn't, and which is very similar to my case, because when I get nominated, initially recommended then to the White House and then nominated by the President of the United States, we didn't have a sitting Republican United States senator, but we had a sitting Republican governor in the White House at that point in time solicited recommendations from then the late Governor RGL Paul Sulichew.
So it would be likely that Governor Baker might be called upon to make this recommendation for the next U.S. attorney.
Well, it could be, and that's not completely clear at this point in time. I think under normal circumstances that would be the case, but I'm confident that the Trump administration has a process in place with regards to solicit names for purposes of recommendations and vetting for key positions like the United States attorney position. That's not the only one that the president will be nominating and the Senate will be called upon to confirm at some point in time. The unusual factor here, obviously, is Governor Jolly Baker indicated that he was not supportive of presidential candidate Donald Trump. So I don't know, what, if anything, impact that might have in terms of where the administration will be soliciting or vetting names from. Confident that Governor Baker will have at least an opportunity to weigh in in the process. But I would know that I would believe the Trump incoming Trump administration has a process.
Okay, we have just
place.
A little bit of time. I just want to make sure we get to legacy a little bit here and then possible successors. So first of all, legacy. Just Monday, a court of appeals overturned three convictions in the big case that was before Ortiz, which was the state probation department. She also received a lot of criticism for charges against Aaron Swartz, who committed suicide after he was charged with downloading academic articles. I mean, there have been some allegations of overreach on her part. Do you think that's part of her legacy?
Well, you know, the U.S. attorney position is a challenging position, and if you're looking to make friends, I would suggest you not consider taking on the responsibilities as U.S. attorney, because, you know, oftentimes you have to take on matters against, in some instances, you know, very popular people or popular companies, or you know, take on some controversial matters. And I think at the end of the day, as long as you've been faithful to your oath, and you can look yourself in the mirror and realize that you've done the best you possibly could under the circumstances, you should leave feeling very good about the work of the office. I'm sure that there'll be critics out there that believe that, you know, Carmen Ortiz has overreached in some instances. I'm confident that there were critics that had, you know, similar viewpoints concerning my service as a U.S. attorney as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think what's, you know, important is whether or not you are doing the work for all the right reasons, you know, notwithstanding the fact that you're never going to be 100% right. There are going to be circumstances in which either time or facts or evidence will determine that maybe it wasn't the right decision. But if you made the best possible decision at the time you made it, you know, I think you leave the office feeling good.
Well, she's also had some hugely high-profile cases, obviously, the Boston Marathon bombing, Shahar Tsarnaev, Whitey Bulger, big cases during her tenure. How do you describe her legacy?
I think the office is bigger than one person. I think it's much bigger than the U.S. attorney, even though the U.S. attorney plays a critically important role in terms of you know, the allocation of resources and the priorities, but I think the successes, I think, reflect the rich talent that you have the opportunity to work with, the tremendous dedicated law enforcement agencies that are critically important in terms of the success of the office, and that goes from local to state, you know, the county to the federal law enforcement agencies. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think Carmen will look back and say that, you know, she had the opportunity to do some very interesting, some very challenging, and some very rewarding things. I suspect she'll look back and, you know, wish that she had another opportunity on a few of them. And, you know, maybe she would have done them differently had she had another opportunity.
What are one or two names that you think might be floated as possible successors? Any ideas?
There's a whole list of them, you know, certainly that people are very much interested. It's a coveted, you know, position. It has a huge impact in terms of things like public policy for the, you know, District of Massachusetts. You have an opportunity to do some very exciting things. Mm-hmm. You know, I look back and I, you know, had the opportunity to participate in international investigations, make relationships beyond, you know, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, across the country and across the world. You know, I know that there are a number of names that have been floated. I'd rather not weigh in on any of the names at this point in time, and, you know, a lot of them are very talented, you know, people.
Mm-hmm. So, but do you expect that'll be soon, or maybe not so soon?
I think it takes several months for the process really to be completed. You know, the president is putting together, president-elect is putting together his cabinet positions, you know, the deputy cabinet positions, and then there'll be a process. There are 93 United States attorneys from around the country. And each one of those positions, you know, takes some time, and there'll be a lot of interest in each one of them. So there's a process, you know, in place, and it'll take some time for the whole vetting, the background checks, you know, for the president and the president's team to make sure they're getting, you know, excellent, you know, people, you know, to serve as United States attorneys.
Okay. Former Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Michael Sullivan, thanks very much for speaking with us.
You're welcome, Deb. Good talking to you. Thank you.
You too.